Good morning, everybody. If you could just please quiet your hearts and sit back and enjoy the wonderful music from Barb. Thank you, Barb. Good morning, everybody. September 1st already, Sunday before Labor Day. It's good to see everyone this morning. For those of you that may not have been here for a few weeks, very good to see you as well. I wanted to share something real quick with you this morning. As I was reading breakfast, I was fortunate to read two stories of human kindness at its greatest, I guess. And I thought it was a good reminder as we celebrate Labor Day that even though a lot of us are having the day off from work tomorrow and we're celebrating those blessings that God has given us, we really never take the day off from the Lord. So the two stories, one was of a elderly female who was working as a McDonald's employee, and she was a little down on her luck. She had a car that was breaking down, motor was starting to make a lot of noises, and she had shared this with some of her customers. And one of her customers, who was a regular, comes in one morning and he says, "Hey, come outside with me. I have a surprise for you." And he walks outside and he hands her a title to a car and a set of car keys. And he gave her a new car. And it was interesting because as it was a video that played. It was actually in the Lebanon Daily News. And in that video, she had talked about how that morning she had spoke to over the phone to a friend of hers from church. And that friend from church said that God works miracles. So I thought that was interesting. Then another one was we had taken the children up to Knoebels Grove yesterday, and one thing I read, a story of Knoebels Grove, they had a security guard up there who he was walking through the park, and he encountered a female who was, again, down on her luck. She was on the phone, and what had happened was her and her husband had taken their two children to the park that morning, and the two children were a little bit older. So as those of us that have kids know, you have kids with different ages. They want to go on different rides. So the husband had taken the older child to one area of the park, and the wife had taken the younger child to a different area. And as the security guard encountered her, she was trying to get back to where the husband and her other child were with her youngest child. And she was distraught. She was on the phone. He was trying to give her directions, and it wasn't working too well. So the security guard walked up to her, said, "Hey, get off the phone. I'll take you to where you need to go." And the security guard grabbed the hand of the young child, like much like a grandfather would, and started talking to the child and reunited her with the husband and another child. So I thought those were just great stories of, you know, as we sit back and enjoy those blessings on Labor Day, and those of us, again, that are fortunate to have the day off work, we never do stop working for the Lord. I thought it was really telling. As far as announcements, the only thing I really have is there's no children's church today, just a reminder, and I believe Pastor Marty has a few announcements.
Good morning, and welcome to the house of the Lord, and if you're visiting with us, we welcome you. Last week, I mentioned that today we're going to honor Labor Day, and you are to come, if you felt led, to come with your work uniform on, and for those of you who did that, thank you, and if you forgot, don't worry about it, because I forget things too. Next Sunday, we want to honor our grandparents, since next Sunday is Grandparents' Day. So grandparents, just show up next Sunday, and we'll honor you. In your bulletins, you'll see a few announcements, just a few things I want to mention. We want to look forward to Rally Day, which is coming up on September 15th. There is going to be a carry-in meal after the worship service, so ask that you invite your friends to church. That's part of what Rally Day is. We want to rally for the Lord and for the working of the church. So we invite you to look forward to that. We have our speaker lined up, Mike Borden from YWAM. And also on that Sunday, September 15th, the adults will be meeting here, right? Anybody can come for Sunday school. Mike's wife will be leading, Laura, she's going to be leading us during the Sunday school hour, so we invite you to come for Rally Day on September 15th. And that's all the announcements I have this morning. I'll turn it back over to Tim.
Thank you, Pastor Marty. Does anyone have any additional announcements? Earl, go ahead.
Good morning. Choir starts on Wednesday, and we're going to do something a little different this year. We're going to do a Thanksgiving cantata instead of a Christmas cantata. So if you feel you can't join a choir, make that big commitment, maybe you can come and sing in the Thanksgiving cantata. So that's something to think about, and we'll see most of you on Wednesday night. Thank you.
Are there any additional announcements? If everybody could please rise if you're able at this time, and we'll do the call to worship, the opening hymn, and the invocation prayer. Come, let us worship.
We are the people of God's pasture.
Come, let us worship and bow down.
We are the sheep of God's hand.
Come, let us worship and bow down before the Lord our Maker. And now for the opening hymn, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, number 497 in the Brown Hymnal.
Amen.
Thank you. If you could please join me in the reading of the invocation prayer. O God, you rule the world from end to end for all. You alone are God, in you alone we hope. Forgive our sins, heal our diseases, save our lives from destruction. We repent of our stubbornness and pride. We desire to yield ourselves more fully to your will. Keep us in your presence that we might serve and witness in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now the ushers may come forward. And I'll read the offertory statement. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both richness and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Amen. And I'm sorry, if you could please join us with the offertory hymn. It's God is So Good, 127 in the Brown Hymnal. Now we have a real treat this morning. We have special music from Brina Crick, Cindy Liske, and Rachel Moyer.
It is so good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And it is so good for me to be able to sing with my sisters up here. We are first going to sing a song called Love Grows Here, which it absolutely does. And our second song is our favorite, called Stepping on the Clouds.
Amen. Thank you, ladies trio, for that wonderful music this morning. In your bulletins, as we enter a time of prayer, you'll see an insert that has a list of names that we need to remember in prayer. So please keep all these brothers and sisters in prayer. Before we go to prayer, I just want to remind you, of course, you've probably been watching the news and know that a hurricane is approaching the Florida coast and not sure what path it's going to take. So we need to keep the many folks who need to be evacuated in prayer. I will say that I think Brethren Disaster Ministries, they're going to be pretty busy. They've been going various places. We have a work group going our Myerstown Church has a group that's going down to North Carolina. Need to keep the many people who are going to be affected by the hurricane in prayer. So let's come to our God this morning, quiet our hearts as we enter into our time of morning prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this privilege and opportunity of worshiping this morning. Help us to know that every day that we live, we need to live for your glory and honor. We thank you for the privilege of knowing you, of being in a relationship with you, being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, help us just to be grateful and thankful that we live a spiritual life, and that we have the greatest gift by Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, and we thank you for that salvation and that free gift. Lord, as we gather here this morning, we're very mindful of the brothers and sisters in Florida and Puerto Rico, places, Lord, where the hurricane is coming. We lift up all those who are going to be affected by the hurricane, and we just pray, Lord, that you would keep them strong. And we know, Lord, that adversity hits all of us. Trials and tribulations hit all of us, Lord God. But I pray this morning, Lord, that we would have the faith of Job in the Bible, who said to his wife, who told him to curse God and die, Job said, "Shall we accept good from God and not accept adversity?" And in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. God, we live in a very difficult world. We live very difficult lives, Lord God. And it's all for your glory and honor. We pray that we, as your people, when adversity hits, that we would be faithful to you. Because we know, Lord, that that's where our faith really comes in. This morning, Lord, we pray for the many people, our brothers and sisters, friends of the church who are on the prayer list, for each one of the situations that they face, Lord. We lift them up to you. And God, help us all to know that you have a plan no matter what we face, that you have a plan. And the only way we will know that is to seek you. Because, Lord, you are our refuge and strength, the very present help in times of trouble. Lord, this week we pray for the Green Tree Church of the Brethren. We lift up this church in our district, Lord, and we pray your blessings upon its congregation. We pray for the pastor and the leaders of this church as they minister, Lord. We pray that you would guide them. Pray that this church, Lord, would be a blessing, Lord, in the community. And Lord, as we honor Labor Day tomorrow, help us to know, Lord, that you have given us the gift of work as a privilege, as an honor, Lord. Help us to see that in our lives. And we pray, Lord, that we would honor that day, Lord, by knowing that you honor the work that you want us to do. We pray that you lead us now in this time as we look into the message that you have laid on my heart. We pray that we would be obedient to the leading of your Holy Spirit. We pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. For this morning's sermon, I ask that if you have a Bible to get it out. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's probably a pew Bible somewhere, because I'll be referring to several passages this morning when it comes to looking at the topic of labor in the Bible. This morning's scripture text is a very short text. It's only one verse. But like I said, there's going to be several passages that I'm going to be referring to. So I ask that you keep your Bibles handy. We're looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 22. The best way to find Ecclesiastes is to turn to the book of Psalms in the middle of the Bible. And then right after Psalms, you have Proverbs and then the short book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon is known as the one who wrote this book. And Solomon was one who did a lot of work for the Lord. And this is what Solomon says from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 22. Hear the word of the Lord. So I perceive that nothing is better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his heritage. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? May God add blessing of the reading of his word. And let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of listening to your word and being part of your word. We pray that it would give us direction and strength for our lives. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Vince Lombardi was one of the most successful NFL coaches of all time. And one reason why he was so successful is because he worked hard. He was a hard worker. And Lombardi was quoted one time by saying this, and I quote, "The price of success is hard work, dedication to the job at hand, and the determination that whether we win or lose, we have applied the best of ourselves to the task at hand." And I unquote. But this morning, I want us to look at what God specifically says about work. And I was rather surprised to find out that there are over 419 references to work in the Bible. I was overwhelmed by that. 419 references. And the more I read these passages, some of these passages, the more I discovered that God has a lot to say about work. Believe it or not, he does have a lot to say about work. Work includes many, many things that I'm just going to touch on a few things this morning. For example, when I looked up the topic of work, a lot of it had to do with the Sabbath, because we all know that the Sabbath is the day of rest. But we sometimes tend to overlook what it says before that. It says, 6 days you shall labor. And the Bible tells us in Exodus 20, verse 9, part of the Ten Commandments, it says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath. Now, if you're off of work tomorrow, which many are, you're only going to work 5 days this week instead of six. But that's okay because it's Labor Day, so I guess that's okay. But when you think about it, the commandment originally was for people to work 6 days out of seven, which means that 86% of our week, 6 days out of seven, involves work. But let's look a little bit at what God specifically means by the word labor. What does labor mean according to Scripture? In your inserts, you'll see the first point. When we look at labor, we must look to God. We can't ignore God when it comes to work and labor. And if you have your Bibles, look at the beginning of Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. It talks about God's creation. It says, Genesis 2:2, "On the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done." Now, when it comes to the question of the quality of work, you know, we're always talking about, you know, work quality. When it talks about the question of quality of work, God gets the ultimate prize because he created the heavens and the earth. And we are the ones who benefit the most from God's work. I remember back in the early 1980s, there were many, many labor strikes going on in our country. It seemed like people were going out on strike for anything. And someone one time made this comment about what that means, and it really stuck with me, and that is, what would we do if God would go on strike? Did you ever think about that? What if God decided that, you know, he'd seen enough sin in the world. He'd seen enough crime. He'd seen enough shootings and scandals and people lying to each other. What if God would go on strike? And he would say, you know, I had it with this world. We'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? Well, God, in some sense, did this back in Genesis. God at one point basically said, I've had enough of wickedness in the world that I created the world to be good. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, it says there, God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So God knew that what he made was good. At the same time, later on, we see in Genesis chapter 6, it says the wickedness of man was great. If you look at Genesis 6, verse 13, actually you go back in verse 3, Genesis 6, verse 3, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. And it says in verse 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart, of man's heart, was only evil continually. But then we see later on, God found grace with Noah in verse 13. So when it comes to work, Noah had one of the biggest work projects of all time. When God commanded him to build the ark. And we can be thankful that Noah was a good hard worker. Because when he built that ark, it saved not only Noah and his family, it saved us ultimately. Because it says in Genesis chapter 9, verse 11, God said, never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And so we see through all this, that God in his grace and love is very merciful towards us when it comes to work. So the big work project that Noah did was saved by God, which eventually saved the world and us. And if it would not have been for Noah listening to God's command to do his work, none of us would be here. Second, in your inserts, when it comes to the work of the Lord is for our benefit. The work of the Lord is for our benefit. If you look at Exodus chapter 14, Exodus 14, verse 31, this is after God saved the Israelites from the Egyptians. It says, thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And so we see here that God's work saved Israel. God's great work saved Israel. So brothers and sisters, have you ever seen the great work of the Lord in your life? He is good. He is working. He's working for you. He's working for me. He's doing a great work. He rescues us. He saves us. When we cannot save ourselves, we need to thank him for his divine and supernatural work in our lives. So when God saved his people, what happened next? Look at Exodus chapter 15. We see the great song of Moses. Verse 1, Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord. So they rejoiced, the people of God rejoiced for how God rescued them. But then we see the song of joy only lasted so long. It wasn't long until the people complained when God led them into the wilderness, and they basically forgot the great work that the Lord did for them. But we see later on, God continued to do his great work for them by providing manna, manna in the wilderness, heavenly manna, heavenly food, which God continued to do his work for the people by rescuing them through miracles. So the work of the Lord is for our benefit. You might be here this morning and you might be looking for the Lord to do a great work in your life this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel helpless without him. You have to want him. You have to want his great work. You have to want his great work in your life. You must want that. And that leads to the third. The third is a basic thought about work, and that you must desire work in your life. You must desire work in your life. As we honor Labor Day tomorrow, we need to know that work is a privilege. It's an honor. And this is why we celebrate Labor Day. When we look at our country, we know that work is what made our country to be who we are. John Adams, one of our country's forefathers and second president, John Adams said this about work, and I quote, "Under the auspices and direction of divine providence, our forefathers moved to the wilds and wilderness of America. By their industry, they made it a fruitful and by their virtue a happy country," unquote. So in other words, Adams was saying that God led our forefathers here so that we could work to make our country great. And we worked. When you look at the history of our country, much of our workers were working outside. We worked with our hands as farmers. We worked with our hands as manufacturer workers, as machinists. With whatever you do, you know, we worked to make our nation what it is. And that leads to the fourth point. You see, there is always a higher purpose of our work. There is always a higher purpose for our work. With any job that you have, with any career that you have, there's always a higher purpose. We have to remind ourselves, what is the reason of our work? There's always a higher purpose. God is honored with anything that we do. And everybody who works, we know that we need job satisfaction. We have to enjoy what we do. There are too many people who are not happy with their work. Have you ever heard, some people say this when they come into work Monday mornings? You just hear them say, "I hate Monday mornings." There was a bumper sticker I remember reading a while back where it says, I owe, it's off to work I go." Probably on Monday morning they were thinking that. You might have heard people say this as you go into work. Well, it's back to the grind. Another day, another dollar. There's even a country music song called "It's 5 o'clock somewhere." It's 5 o'clock somewhere, meaning that everyone wants their work day to end. The first job I ever had as a teenager, I worked in a furniture factory, a bunch of older guys. This one guy was always very negative about work. And whenever he would leave work, the guys would say, "Will we see you tomorrow when you're coming into work?" He didn't say anything. But then they say, "Well, it's payday tomorrow." "Okay, I'm going to come into work. You'll see me tomorrow." How do we ever get that way? Well, I want us to look at a passage that can change people's attitude about work. Turn with me to Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. After Ezra, we get into Nehemiah. Nehemiah was someone who had a lot of gifts, but one gift that Nehemiah had was he could rally his people to work. And Nehemiah was driven to serve God with all his heart and might. And he had a big work project ahead of him, which was to rebuild the walls of the temple after they were destroyed by Babylon. So if you look at Nehemiah chapter 1, in verse 4, it says that Nehemiah fasted and prayed to God as he saw how the temple was burned down. But he also had a passion to rebuild the walls of the temple. You know, when something is very important to you that gets destroyed, you should want to rebuild it. And so Nehemiah rallied the people together to build the walls of the temple. Look what it says in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. This is Nehemiah talking about the workers. Nehemiah 4, verse 6 says, "We built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." Now think about that. It says, the people had a mind to work. They had a mind to work. That means the people had a heart to work. They had a common goal to work on for God's glory, to rebuild God's house of worship. But in order to rebuild, Nehemiah and the people had to overcome some major obstacles. One of them was ridicule. You know, he got ridiculed a lot by thinking, you know, you're never going to do this. You're never going to rebuild this temple. He had a lot of people who mocked him, thinking, how are you going to get this done? Okay? And you know what happened? That just kind of rallied the people. The people set a watch against their critics. They guarded themselves, and the whole family was included. Look at Nehemiah 4, verse 13. What's amazing about this passage is that the entire family was involved in watching. It says, "Therefore I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows," verse 14, "and I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them," that is the critics. "Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." So it was became a family affair to watch over this work that they did. And look at what it says in Nehemiah 6, verse 16. Look what the result was. Nehemiah 6, verse 16. It says, "It happened when all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened," that is the enemies, "were disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God." What a compliment that was. In other words, they saw the walls of the temple, and the critics said, "This is all the work of the Lord." What a compliment. Oh, brothers and sisters, if we would all have a mind to work for our Lord, and that we would do it together, God would bless the work, and He'd be pleased. He'd be pleased. And that leads to the fifth point. You must work with a purpose and mission in mind. You must work with a purpose and mission in mind. Each day that God grants to us, we must work for Him, work for His glory, work for His church, work to build up His church, and to know that we have a solid foundation as a church. Look what the Bible says, Ephesians 2, verse 21 and 22. Ephesians 2, verse 21 to 22. It's talking about the foundation that we have as a church of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we, the saints of the church, have a solid foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus and Christ Himself being a chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Now, I wrote that verse down in your inserts, and right next to that verse, if you have a pen or pencil, write down Myerstown Church of the Brethren.
because that tells us that we as a congregation, we have a wonderful foundation as a church. It's built on that foundation. Some of you may know that this year, we as people at Myerstown Church of the Brethren, we're celebrating our 100th year as a separate congregation, along with the Richland and the Heidelberg churches. And I want to give you a brief history of Myerstown Church. If I get my facts wrong, talk to Glenn, and Glenn will straighten out the history that I get wrong. But I read a history of the church through the Eastern Pennsylvania a history book that we have in the library. But it says that we as a church began at that old meeting house on Warriors Road. On Warrior Road, it's still standing today. If you want to go by there, it's owned by the Mennonites. But that's where we started. That building was built in 1840. And then as the church grew at that time, we moved to the brick church on Railroad Street right down the road. That was built in 1876. And the ministry of this church continued to grow until we moved to this present location in 1970. And following 1970, the church had two, possibly more, additions. And so all this says is that the church has a wonderful history, a wonderful foundation. And by looking back at the history, we can see how the ministry of this church grew in our history. Through these changes, the church always had a mission and a purpose. Think about that. That's one reason how the church grew. The people had a mission and a purpose along with a lot of hard work for our Lord. And I firmly believe that the church will continue. Why do I say that? Because the Word of God tells us this. It's not me, it's what God says. According to the words of Jesus Christ, the church has always prevailed over any hardship and trial. It prevailed over any criticism. Jesus Christ himself gave us this promise. When Peter said to Jesus, Peter acknowledged, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say in return? On this rock I will build my church, and what? The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Think about that. In other words, as long as we keep the mission of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our hearts and minds, Satan can't have the church. He won't have the church. As long as we keep our hearts and minds focused on the mission of working together and the mission of the purpose of the church, it can only grow. Now, I'm not saying that to make any predictions. Only God knows the future. But I do trust in God. And I know that God is pleased. God is pleased when he sees the people of the church working together to serve our Lord. And when we make the church the center of our ministry, God will bless the church. God will bless the work of the church and the ministry of the church that we do. God will bless the work of the church that we do. And brothers and sisters, remember that the work of the church is not burdensome. Instead, it's a blessing from God. And each one of us can make contribution. We can make a work to the church. We can start that today. Maybe God is calling you to get involved in the work of the church in some way. He will bless your work, no matter what the work involves. And with every person's contributions, every person's work, we can be sure that the church will continue. Just trust and believe in God that the church will continue as it has in our history. And may God bless your work. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are our Lord and God, and that you gave us a solid foundation through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray this morning for anyone this morning, Lord, who has not committed to the work of Jesus Christ, of what he did on the cross, that they would make that decision today to make him Lord and Savior of their lives. Because that is a great work. The great work is Jesus Christ dying for our sins. I pray, Lord, that we would take that work to heart, to know, Lord, that you're working for us. Lead us as we continue to worship you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, our closing hymn is a hymn of consecration. Take my life and let it be. And this morning, if you need prayer for anything, or if you want to come forward to make a decision for the Lord, I invite you to do that. And let's all stand as we sing number 152, Take My Life and Let It Be. As we leave here today, hear these words from the Apostle Paul from Philippians chapter 3. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.